This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. Hold on, hold on.
What?
Our day is not over just yet.
Woohoo! USA! USA!
We have an action-packed hour for you 6 p.m. drivers.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Matt Scraby wraps up a full day of live and local sports talk.
And that is the whole problem with aliens. You just can't trust them. Occasionally you meet a nice one, but usually they turn out to be some kind of big lizard.
The Scraby Show starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hello and welcome into The Scraby Show. I am Matt Scraby. Thank you for joining us tonight. It is December 4th, 2024. We are getting close to the holidays, like really close to the holidays, and I've done none of my shopping. And guess what, everyone? I told myself this year I was going to get my shopping done early. So I bought one gift in June and didn't buy another gift since. So I need to get going on my shopping. I also have Frank Marchese in here with me, which is great because I don't believe he heard the conscrabacy earlier, and I don't believe he heard my thoughts on Blake Snell earlier, so we have a new, fresh victim for me to try and convince of my thoughts.
Uh-oh.
Yes, uh-oh is correct. But first, Frank is in here on Wednesdays because he's also, you know, co-hosting, producing Sammy Levitt's Inside San Diego Baseball with Sam Levitt tonight. I believe he has Scott Miller going to be joining him. I'm sure Sam has a lot going on with the winter meetings next week. And I think he has a programming note that next week is Inside San Diego Baseball is going to be on Tuesday and not on Wednesday because he will be traveling home. So Sam will be out at the winter meetings in Dallas, and next week's going to be pretty fun. He's going to be a big part of 97.3 The Fan's coverage. But Frank, we haven't talked since a couple weeks ago. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was good for somebody who couldn't really eat much of anything. But
and, remind people why.
Weight loss surgery. I'm down 72 pounds in the last seven weeks.
Yeah. So what did your Thanksgiving meal consist of?
A couple spoonfuls of mashed potatoes and, sorry, Doc, but like two little tiny corners of turkey.
I think you'll be fine.
I
don't know that. I mean, I'm just saying that. I'm the guy who's like, oh, it'll be fine, and then end up realizing that I like did something to my car that's thousands of dollars in repair. But that's good. I mean, I'm not really a big Thanksgiving food guy. I know that I said that a couple weeks ago. I just have never been into turkey, never been into stuffing. I like shaved turkey that you get at the grocery store. You can just put on your sandwich. But I'm not a fan of like the innards and the I'm just not a fan.
The last couple of years, I've started to get more into it. But I mean, this year, for obvious reasons. But
yeah.
I mean, it's always been one of my lower tier holidays, personally.
Interesting. Okay, good. I'm glad that we're on the same page on that one. Do you have any like family dishes? Because we have my dad's side of the family came from Lithuania, so they came over in like the early 1900s. We used to be Skrebis. It wasn't Scraby. They changed their name, but they brought a dish over. It's like a potato dish. If you don't know what Lithuania is, it's like a Baltic state. It's near Russia, and they love potatoes up there. So it's called kugula, which is like what is it called? Hash browns, and it's got bacon, and it's got a couple other things in it, but it's like a casserole, and we usually make that. My mom's gonna kill me. It's maybe the blandest thing I've ever eaten in my life, but it's at every single Thanksgiving we have because this is like my dad's side of the family tradition. And my mom is so good because she married into the family. She did not need to do this, but she ended up just continuing the tradition. And I appreciate her for that, but it is it's like eating a potato brick. I really hope she's not listening right now because my mom knows I love her cooking, but she's going to take it personally. But anyway, do you have any like family dishes?
Not really. We tend to do just like a standard traditional Thanksgiving, but usually Christmas. That's usually when all the big stuff comes out.
Ooh, okay. All right. All the big stuff comes out. I don't have enough time before Christmas. I'm already panicking in my head. It's 21 days from now. I haven't done any of my shopping and We'll worry about that a little bit later. But right now, we're going to talk about, you know, just a couple of the headlines of the day. Not news of the day or anything like that, because there's not much news going on. But the tide has changed and turned for the Padres in the Roki Sasaki sweepstakes, because everybody was reporting that the Dodgers have the hand up on the entire league for his services. And now we got people reporting that the Padres are moving into a top spot, or at least seriously competing with the Dodgers for Roki Sasaki. And there are a few reasons I think Roki Sasaki, like, it makes me feel like he's going to come to the Padres. And that's number one, Yu Darvish is his idol. And Yu Darvish was someone that he looked up to for a long time growing up in Japan. Yu Darvish was, I mean, he's one of the bigger names in Japanese baseball I can ever remember. Ichiro obviously is huge. Now Shohei is huge, and we're getting other players like Yamamoto and all that stuff. But Roki Sasaki, I think that I've read that he is a guy who likes to do the work. He doesn't like to take an easy way out, which I kind of think going to the Dodgers is the easy way out. But I also think that he wants to be involved in the team and be counted on more so than the third guy out of Shohei, Yamamoto, and then Roki Sasaki. So I feel like he wants to prove that he could do this on his own. And I feel like the Padres are a great place for him. And I'm not just saying that because we're a Padres station. He's an under the radar guy to begin with. He doesn't like all of the, you know, huge fanfare. He doesn't want to be followed around by thousands of fans. If he goes to LA, he's going to have some of that. The media is going to be all over him all the time. If he comes here to San Diego, he's not going to be, you know, rushed by the media every single game. He's going to be able to kind of work his way in. If Ha-Seong Kim was any indication of how a player coming from a different country, you know, adjusts to the United States, Ha-Seong Kim seems like it took him a little bit, but he really did adjust, and San Diego was the great place for him to do that because it's not as much pressure. And I know that there are people out there saying, well, media's soft here in San Diego anyway, so, you know, you never say anything bad about the team. Frank's giving me the eyes, like, maybe. But I do think that the media style here in San Diego is something that players like and something that players are open to. And so I think Roki Sasaki is seriously considering the Padres, and he would alleviate so many worries that we all have coming into the year. And I'm not going to panic like I did last year, because we went into spring training last year and there were a lot of holes on the team, and we had no idea how AJ Preller was going to fill them. But he ended up, you know, trading for Dylan Cease. So he got that. He made the deal with Juan Soto, Michael King, and all those, Kyle Higashioka, Drew Thorpe, all those guys came over. This year, I'm not going to panic until we get to like opening day and they don't have a left fielder or something like that, because there was only, I believe, one or two outfielders on that spring training team leading into the season. So we have to stay a little bit calm. And I also have to remind myself, like, I get too ahead of myself sometimes. I get too excited about things sometimes. And I'm very excited about Roki Sasaki possibly being a Padre. And I think that we all have to stay a little bit calm. I think we all need to maybe not get so excited about the possibility of Roki Sasaki, because I know that if he does choose a different team, the letdown's going to be real, and the letdown's going to be harsh, and the letdown is going to stink. So I think we need to calm our nerves, everybody.
Yeah, it's important to stay level-headed. Of course, I'm excited about the possibility of the Mets possibly landing Juan Soto, but I'm not sitting here refreshing Twitter or whatever every 5 seconds waiting to see. I just saw today that he's most likely going to make his decision this weekend, which, okay, great. But you can't, of course you want the guy, but you can't just sit on this guy like he's going to be the savior of this rotation. True. You've got to you've got to be okay with the fact that he might not be here. And, I mean, we've seen it in the past. I saw a tweet come back up from 2021. The Padres are nearing a contract with Max Scherzer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we talked about it earlier. The amount of joy that we had for that 1 hour of Max Scherzer in a hypothetical Padres uniform was pure jubilation.
And what happened?
He didn't come to San Diego. It was massive depression.
You guys got lucky, though. He gave the Mets one good year, and he has not been on the field basically since.
Yeah.
That's it. You got lucky.
You're right about that. But I think he was a rental at the time, wasn't he?
No. This was after 2021. That was when he was signed, the 2021 offseason. So if he comes here, great. If not, it's going to stink. But on to the next guy, because you got to find somebody.
You do. Right now, their rotation consists of, I said it last week, it consists of Dylan Cease, it consists of Michael King, it consists of Yu Darvish, Matt Waldron, and then Randy Vasquez, maybe. I really honestly didn't mind what Randy Vasquez brought last year. I thought he was pretty good for being a guy who wasn't expected to be a starter, for being a guy who, you know, wasn't even an established starter or anything like that. I felt like he did a really good job. Did he have games where he didn't pitch well? Yes, absolutely. But that's going to happen. Overall, I think that he worked himself into a spot that he can go into spring training believing that he has a spot or a chance at that fifth spot in the rotation.
Yeah, he was a 4A starter last year, what he was. He was too good for El Paso. His numbers would have gotten inflated in El Paso, but he was the perfect guy to come up for a spot start when you needed it. The problem was there were too many spot starts for one guy to fill last year, and that's where you got guys like Adam Major filling in roles.
Yeah.
He came over from the Yankees as a prospect starter. Same thing with Johnny Brito. Came over as a prospect starter. They were going to use him as a starter towards the end of last season. That's why they sent him down.
Oh, we're talking Johnny Brito?
Yeah, Brito.
Yeah.
But you cannot rely Randy Vasquez being a number five starter. Great. I'll take that. It's not the ideal situation, but I will take that.
But he's got another offseason under his belt. He's got another offseason within the same team that he is going to play for. He's more comfortable now. I feel like this is a big offseason for Randy Vasquez.
Oh, absolutely. And I would, like I said, I would be okay with him being the number five starter. If he's your number four, or God forbid, your number three starter, then we have a big problem.
Good thing you got Michael King, Dylan Cease, and Yu Darvish, and Matty Nux.
Hopefully, Yu Darvish.
Yes. I kind of feel bad for Matt Waldron a little bit, because he carried the load of that pitching staff last year for a long time, and in critical points in the season. And when he got to a point where he had already maxed out his arm and his innings and all that stuff, we kind of just discarded him and just threw him into the minor leagues. I'm saying fans, not the team.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like he's going to have another, at least, he's going to have another chunk of the season where he is going to be a good four starter, and a four starter that you are looking forward to having start for the Padres.
But that wouldn't be my ideal situation. I would want another starter, maybe two, to where it could be a fight for the number five spot between Vasquez and between Waldron. And to go back to what you said a second ago about Waldron carrying the load of the pitching staff, all of them had their turn with it. Waldron had it at the beginning of the year, right after he came up. He had a couple rough starts, but then turned it around. Dylan Cease had his run as the ace of the staff. And then at the end of the season, Michael King had his run as the ace of the staff. So it's everyone on that rotation that was there all year really shared that load very, very well.
I'm getting on the chat that I'm off base on Matt Waldron and Randy Vasquez. C20 says, Waldron and Vasquez are not it. We need better starting pitching options with Joe out. Also, Abraham Joe is too inconsistent. Well, it doesn't matter because he's going to, he's not going to be
pitching
next year.
Yeah, he's not going to be a factor next year.
Also, let me see. I had one and I can't find it now.
Seeing Compadre in the chat as well. Waldron as a fourth starter is not it. And I 100% agree with that. You need another starter. Those two should be battling for the number five spot. that's where they should be. They should not both be in the rotation unless somebody's hurt.
Okay. That's your opinion.
It is.
It is, and it's probably an opinion a lot of other people share with you. There's still, you know, Trevor says, chill, Matt. Preller will do his job, and he will. That's why I said when I started, I need to chill out. I need to not be so worried about things. I think next week we're going to get a few more news stories. It's the winter meetings. A lot more happens. Last year we had the Juan Soto trade happen during the winter meetings.
Right at the very end of it, too. Like right as everyone was leaving.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it took them a long time to negotiate that trade, but AJ got everything that he wanted. And I remember reading that Michael King and Drew Thorpe were like the main two in that. And the Yankees did not want to give up one of the two. Mm-hmm. They gave up one or both of them. They gave up both. And then Drew Thorpe goes to Chicago for Dylan Cease. So lots has happened. Bigger things have happened with less amount of time. So I'm not going to worry about that. As we go along through the show, we are going to talk about some of the free agency news out there. One of the Padres was named as an MLBPA. Let me get the exact exact title. Alternate Association Rep. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Also, Frank, I'm going to ask you this question real quick.
Okay.
Brandon on the chat is asking this.
Okay.
Do you know how to check? Say you get into a car you've never driven before.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to check where the gas tank is? Like which side of the car it's on?
Yes, I do.
How do you do it?
There is an arrow next to the
gas
tank.
He knows, everybody. He knows. We had a sports court where this guy was like, my girlfriend doesn't know that. And Tony said that up until like 2 years ago, he had no idea that it was on there. We haven't asked Chris yet because he left because of his voice, but he knows everybody. So we didn't catch him on the air. That's a bummer. Anyway, when we get back, could Alec Boehm be a Padre? We'll talk about it next. 6:22 here, 97.3 The Fan, Matt Scraby. Scraby Show, Frank Marchese here with me as well. Sammy Lev is getting ready for his magical show that we're going to be doing tonight. Or not me, him. I mean, whenever I leave the room, Sam always says, listen and see how a real radio show is done. And he's joking, everyone. He's joking. Oh, he just shook his head. No, he's not joking. Okay. So he's serious about that. And I do actually listen on the way home, and I'm like, man, I think I need to pull over and start taking notes on this whole thing. So, what do you got, Frank?
Man, that's 45 minutes of my life.
I'm never getting back. I went to break talking about the Padre that is now an alternative. Sam sitting in the chair that I broke earlier. An alternative association rep. So the MLBPA today announced that representatives from each of the 30 clubs elected new major league players to the union's 8-member executive subcommittee. And so the association reps are Marcus Semien and Chris Bassett. Jake Cronenworth is an alternate association rep, along with Paul Skeens is also an association rep. The reason I'm mentioning this is because Tony caught this before he left, and he said he really likes that they have so many different young guys on this executive subcommittee, including a Padre, Jake Cronenworth. They also have Brent Suter, Pete Fairbanks as pension committee reps, and then Cedric Mullins and Tarek Skubal, alternate pension committee reps. But this is good, like, business experience for these guys. They get to make a lot of decisions and help players get to where they want to go. So Jake Cronenworth is an alternate for that. All right. Let's talk about, well, we still have the conscribacy. We also have Alec Boehm. The Phillies are rumored to have put Alec Boehm on the trade market. Now, I just saw Seattle is very interested in Alec Boehm. He's third baseman. He was pretty good last year. He didn't finish well, but he started great, and he was on fire for that Phillies team. But do the Padres want to take a look at him? A, he plays third base. I know they already have Manny Machado. But I asked Tony before he left, can Alec Boehm play any other position on the field? And he said he could play first base. And I know that there's a first baseman, Jake Cronenworth, but we're still trying to figure out what's going on with second base. And so if you bring in a guy like Alec Boehm, he can play first base. And then you can move Jake to second and put Xander at shortstop. That solves a lot of things. But I feel like Alec Boehm is not going to be a cheap trade. He's going to be a pretty expensive trade. And I don't expect the Padres to go this route, but I expect AJ Preller to at least like maybe kick the tires on it and see what's happening. Garrett Crochet, also more suitors are lining up for him, which I'm glad that the Padres name is not a part of Garrett Crochet right now. It's the Reds are in on Garrett Crochet. Also, the Cubs are in on Garrett Crochet. And I'm just out on Garrett Crochet. I'm just not into it. Not into what happened last year. He's a good pitcher because he did help me win a fantasy baseball championship. But he also, you know, we don't know what a full season with a full workload is going to be like for Garrett Crochet. So maybe go Dylan Cease for Garrett Crochet. Send Dylan Cease back to Chicago on the White Sox.
I don't think he'd be up for that.
Oh, you don't think he would be up for that?
All right. No.
Here's the conspiracy, Frank.
Uh-oh.
We all kind of questioned the Yu Darvish contract when he got it. He got
some
a six-year...
a little bit more than questioning, yes.
Anger was out there.
Yes.
6 years, $108 million for Yu Darvish. And, you know, I was questioning the contract as well. Mm-hmm. He signed that in 2023, so he's coming up on his third season with this new contract. But 6 years, $108 million seems like a crazy contract for a guy who's going to be 41 when it's over.
Oh, really?
Yes. But here is why I think the Padres did this. They knew Roky Sasaki was going to be on his way to Major League Baseball at some point. Yu Darvish is his idol. He loves Yu Darvish. He grew up idolizing Yu Darvish. The Padres needed Yu Darvish to stay with the team. They needed to make him happy, and they're going to have Roky Sasaki come over, and he's going to help with the recruitment, Yu Darvish. This is part of his deal. He's going to help the recruitment, and then he's going to mentor Roky Sasaki until he retires. Now, it's a conspiracy, yes, but I don't think I'm that far off. Chris and Tony both said I was stupid. I don't think I'm stupid.
I wouldn't call you stupid.
Thank you.
But to quote the legendary Jeff Foxworthy, that is like buying a 747 to get free peanuts.
Wait, did we just quote Jeff Foxworthy?
You can...
You might be a redneck if you buy a 747 for peanuts. Jeff Foxworthy is a comic, is a comedian, Sam. Sam's like, I don't even know who he is. He is a comedian.
Just leave him out of it.
I know.
You could sign him to the front office. Like, that would be a lot more cost-effective way to do it, would it not have been?
No, because they still need him to pitch. And he pitched pretty well in the playoff there.
There are other pitchers out there, but...
There are other pitchers, but...
If he decided to retire, you could have signed him for a couple of years.
That's the thing. I don't think he wanted to retire.
You could have signed him for 2 or 3 years to where this year could have been his last year. He retires at the end of this year, and then you give him a job in the front office.
He doesn't. No, it doesn't work that way because he needs to be on the active roster with Roky Sasaki so that he can help him adjust to America and adjust to the Major League Baseball way of life.
You can't do that with a suit and tie on in an office?
No, because Yu Darvish needs to be entrenched with Yu Darvish.
I would say
they need to be in every single meeting, every single day together. I think this is a good thought. I do. Because the contract makes no sense to anyone. 6 years, $108 million for a, at the time, 36-year-old pitcher? Doesn't make sense to anyone.
Unnecessary.
It is unnecessary.
Especially the fact that it wasn't front-loaded. That's even worse. But
Dan says that's the way AJ thinks so far ahead. 100%. He does think so far ahead. Right. AJ's been chess.
There were more cost-effective ways to keep Yu Darvish here and try to get him to recruit Roky Sasaki. That's the only thing that I see wrong with that, is that you could have done it a lot cheaper.
You could have. But yes. Again, I don't think Yu Darvish wanted to retire, so they were forced into bringing him back with a 6-year contract.
Then say, listen, how long do you want to play here? How long do you want to? How long do you want until you retire?
6 years.
if it's 6 years, I ain't paying you over $100 million. That's not happening.
What about 108? Deal's done.
I'm not paying you over $100 million. Here's 108. Done.
Deal?
Kind of Looney Tunes math is that?
I don't know. It is Looney Tunes math. Dominic makes a great point, though. And yes, this is a scraby conspiracy. It's not like I have any proof whatsoever that this is the deal. But Dominic said it only works if he actually decides to come here. Still no guarantee. You're right. If he comes here, I will do a little digging. I will find out what is happening. I already tasked Tony with asking AJ Preller on the basketball court one of these days if this is why they did it. Tony said he will absolutely not ask AJ about
that. Yeah, that's a great idea. Just smack him over the back with a hard foul, and while you're picking him up, say, hey, why did you sign Yu Darvish to such a long deal?
AJ and Tony, I guess I'm speaking for both of them, but they're tight. I mean, they play basketball together all the time. They see each other all the time. Tony could absolutely, I'm speaking for Tony again. Sorry, Tony.
Like I said,
he could absolutely ask AJ while they're playing basketball.
Like I said, smack him over the back with a hard foul or just pretend it's trash talk and just go, hey, you ain't got a shot. Just in the same way you don't have a shot at signing Hiroki Sasaki right now, unless did you sign Yu Darvish for such a long deal?
It's a great way of putting
great
it.
Great idea. Yeah.
I think it would work. I obviously don't know if this is true. But one day I hope to find out. One day I hope to find out.
I hope you were picking up my sarcasm.
I was.
I SD was laying Charm, it on pretty thick.
Says that's what Hideo Nomo is for, right? The
Nomo's in the front office as well.
So they already have one guy in the front office that can woo Roki Sasaki, and then they have a player mentor.
Right, but you're dealing with AJ Preller here, who said looked at the shortstop situation and said, why have five when I can have six? And then signed Xander Bogaerts. So why have just one former Japanese player in the front office when I could have two?
We're just arguing in circles at this point.
Yes, we are.
I just got a text. Didn't you say the same thing about Yu's contract regarding Ohtani? Or is that someone else? I think that was someone else. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say something as crazy as that. We're going to head to break. When we get back, I told everyone that Woods has a Sprinter van. I was listening this morning, and he said he is not allowing anyone to use the bathroom on the Sprinter van for anything other than number one. And I'm going to tell you why Woods is absolutely 100% spot on for not allowing anyone to do it, because I have an experience that I'm going to share when we get back on the Scraby Show on 97.3 The Fan. Oh, back here in the Scraby Show, Frank Marchese, Matt Scraby, Sammy Lev. We're just sharing stories of the past when Chris was the pregame host of Padres Radio back in the day. It was hilarious. It was just a fun time. I was on the board. And I remember all of the, this is where Chris and I think really got to know each other, was through Padres Radio, because we had to kind of be stuck in the same room. And I really learned how Chris is very particular.
Couldn't imagine what that's like.
Oh yeah. You've never been stuck in a room with someone who's doing Padres Radio for a while. All right. I was talking about Woods' Sprinter van before we went to break, and so I have a story that will back up Woods's decree that he is not going to allow anyone to use the bathroom on the Sprinter van for anything other than number one. And here's why. I was 18 and I was on a trip with my family, and it was like a family reunion. We all rented RVs. We drove from California all the way up to Yellowstone, and we were in Montana. And so we had a long drive, and of course, everybody was using the bathroom and all of that. Well, my grandpa tasked me with emptying the sewage tank. And I was all about it. I wanted to be a responsible 18-year-old grandson. I wanted to be good at this. So I drive the RV over to the sewage disposal area, and I get the hoses hooked up and everything. And this is why Wood should never allow people to do this in his Sprinter van. The hose didn't click in all the way. And when I hit the release valve, the hose broke off of the RV. And the sewage went all over the ground. And it just kept pouring out and pouring out and pour. So I freak out. I run to the guy who runs the place, and he was like, oh, this is not a big deal at all. And he takes a hose, and he just sprays it around with the hose. But this is why you should not do this, Woods, because there are simple things that are catastrophic when you mess them up, which is not securing the hose onto the RV. It was disgusting.
I agree 100% with not doing the thing. I agree with that 100%. But it's based on not. Mine is based on I don't want the car to stink. Yours is based on.
Well, this is why he's no. He's,
I had an oopsie, and now no one should do it.
I really think that Woods said it this morning. I did. I was listening while I was driving to my haircut, so I couldn't go back.
I did notice that, by the way.
Thank you. Very nice. Thank you. Sam also noticed my haircut, apparently. But I believe he said he just didn't want to have to deal with the emptying of the sewage tank.
That's fair. 100%
fair. 100%
fair.
But I'm telling Woods right now, this is why. Because you could end up messing up, and the hose pops off, and everything goes everywhere.
Don't let Scravy empty the tank.
Don't let me empty the tank. Don't let me empty the tank whatsoever, because it will all be very bad news.
I didn't know Sprinter vans had bathrooms in them. I've been in Sprinter vans
before,
but I didn't know that they had.
There's a lot of different variations to it. I believe Wood said his has a microwave in it, which is kind of cool. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Lucky and I, my dog, renting an RV and just driving. Just go to like North Dakota, see Mount Rushmore, or is that in South Dakota? I think that's in North Dakota. I would love to just get lucky and go travel the country in an RV. I think that would be kind of fun.
Oh, it definitely would be fun. I think, again, there are more cost-effective ways to do it, but no, it's definitely fun. No,
what, like, am I going to go on horseback?
No, like drive a car or a...
Lucky, I have to go find a pet-friendly hotel. I got to go pay $100-something per night for a hotel when I can just rent an RV. And if I do it in the off-season of high RV rental, then it's a lot cheaper.
Gas won't be.
No, gas
for
will not
an RV.
Be. But it's unleaded. I think it's an 87-octane thing. And I don't think it's like a diesel. I don't remember it being diesel.
Well, diesel, you go further.
As a kid, we never camped. And I feel like I missed out on a lot of things. And so I'm going to try to make up for it with my dog, Lucky. Dominic says, can someone Photoshop Scraby's face onto Cousin Eddie for the holidays? What is that, Christmas Vacation?
I think so, yeah.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Funny. Funny movie. All right. We're heading to the end of the show, as everybody can tell. Let's just do some random potpourri. And the Ravens, I found this very strange. The Ravens traded for Deontay Johnson at the trade deadline. Wide receiver. He was on the Panthers. But they suspended him today because he refused to enter the game against the Eagles. They tried to get him to go in the game, and the general manager, Eric DaCosta, said, Deontay's suspension stems from refusing to enter our game against the Eagles. Everybody thought it was really weird that he didn't even play a snap in that game. But I find it even more weird that he refused to enter the game. I didn't know that you could really even do that.
Why was he refusing to enter
game? There's no news about that. They said they're just going to get rid of it. They're just going to stop commentary right there that he's suspended because he refused to enter the game. But when you say you suspended someone for refusing to enter the game, it causes more questions than anything.
You have to, the player has to release a statement as to why he didn't. I'm not judging that at all until I know why he did it.
Maybe he put up a social media post as of late, but I did not see anything. No, it doesn't look like he's done anything, but...
There has to be a reason why.
Of course.
There's got to be a reason. If he was hurt, the team didn't believe him, or there was injury that was acting up and the team didn't really care, whatever the issue is, or if he just... flat out didn't want to play against the Philadelphia Eagles.
There's got to be some sort of playtime issue. Here's the statement, which I really love the beginning of the statement. We have made the difficult decision to suspend Deontay Johnson for our upcoming game. There was no difficult decision here.
No,
it was the guy refused to enter the game. We have to suspend him or we're going to not lose our team, but we're going to send a very weird message that you can just refuse to enter a game and nothing happen.
Here's a note to all organizations when it comes to suspending or fining players. We know it's not a difficult decision for you. Stop insulting our intelligence by trying to seem like you made a tough decision.
Very true. I mean, I don't need the bells and whistles of a statement to tell me that it was a difficult decision. Just tell me you suspended him. Don't lie to me. Don't make me feel stupid about things.
Yes.
Yes. Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence placed on IR after the hit from Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair, but it's not because of his head. It's because of his shoulder. He's getting shoulder surgery, the one that kept him out leading up to this game.
Well, if you're out with a head, you may as well get the other.
You may as well get the shoulder fixed. What did you think about that? Because on the show, we think, or at least Chris and I thought, that 3 games for Al-Shaair was too many. I feel like there's no real basis for 3 games.
I want to say it was Luke Kuechly. I don't remember, though. The hit on, I think it was Breeze, wasn't it?
Or was it
Tannehill? Oh, God.
Oh, this is what it's like to
there was
with
a
Nets,
hit.
Baby.
Yeah. I know there was a hit. I believe it was Luke Kuechly or somebody in the chat. Help me if you guys know what hit I'm talking about. Knocked the quarterback's helmet off. Guy was suspended. If depending upon what that suspension was, now I got to look it up.
Well, they said that the suspension was for multiple offenses of, you know, not caring for player safety. I think that this is why the NFL doesn't hand down suspensions from the executive level, because they try to stay out all of this and they don't want to be a part of this whole suspension thing, but they had to step in here, and 3 games is a lot. That's what 17. Oh gosh. How much of a percent of the season is 3 games? I'm not even going to try to do the math at this point in the show, but I think that they are trying to make an example out of him. And I think that his reaction after the hit maybe also helped them to come up with this suspension, because he didn't really feel like he did anything wrong on the field.
No, and I'm looking now, like Teddy Bridgewater got hit with this one. There was a different one that I was Flacco. It was the Kiko Alonso Joe Flacco hit. That it knocked Flacco's helmet off. That's the one I was thinking of. Those hits have been in the NFL for a while, and the NFL is really trying to get rid of those hits. So, yeah, suspend him. And you can make the difference. You can make the claim that, well, it's kind of hard for him to stop on a dime. He's already leaning into the hit by the time he slides. Stop. There are some things where safety is paramount. Safety comes first. That's one of those things. When a quarterback is in a position where his head is the most likely thing to get hit, you have to take it seriously. The guy has to get suspended. He has to get sat down. Now, if the suspension is in line with what the guy got for the Bridgewater hit and with the Flacco hit, then
the Kiko Alonso got no suspension.
Well, then that's ridiculous.
He got no suspension, a $9,115 fine for a late hit. Tom Brady had an interesting reaction to this. I've mentioned this a couple times, but Tom Brady was on with Colin Cowherd, and he didn't take Trevor Lawrence's side, which is a lot of people thought he would take the quarterback's side. He said quarterback needs to be more aware and responsible for their own safety by getting themselves down.
He was sliding.
His reasoning was, when he was in the league, he got hit a couple times real hard, and he realized that I need to slide a little bit sooner so that I don't get smashed when I'm going to the ground. Granted, he did play in a much tougher NFL at the time, because they didn't have the similar penalties that they have now for roughing the passer and for all these other instances. But I think that 3 games was too much. I think 1 game would have been fine. One game would send the message. You can't launch into someone's head on the football field anymore.
No, you can't. And I think the reason why they chose the three games is because they really are trying to get this out of the game. They don't want people going after quarterbacks when they're sliding. That's not a toughness thing, as I just saw pop up in the chat. That's not the toughness is going thing. That is a safety thing. We don't want half the quarterbacks in this league to end up like Jim McMahon, where they forget what they're doing while they're doing it. That's not okay.
That won't happen because they've made it to the point where quarterbacks now are very protected. And, you know, Tua, I know, has had some issues.
Plays like that still happen. Stuff with guys like Cam
Newton always gonna
still happen. No, I understand you can't get rid of the danger. But to try to get rid of that hit on a sliding quarterback, that is something you can do.
That was a text. That's a textbook unnecessary roughness penalty.
Yes.
They're going to be showing that to every team, saying, this is what you, if you do this, you will be suspended by the league.
Ejection, suspension, done.
Toughness in the NFL, I think toughness is still there. I think that a lot of players are bigger, faster, stronger than they've ever been. And I think that there is toughness, but we don't want our stars getting hurt. And some of these rules are built around stars being able to stay on the field. Back when, like, Steve Young played, I remember Steve Young taking a hit as a kid, and he just stayed in the game. And, like, down the road, he was like, I don't even remember that half. I don't remember
any.
Trent Green. Austin Eckler just said he's had two concussions this year, and he has memory issues after that. I don't know that three games was the right response.
If you think toughness in the NFL is gone, I want you to run full speed into another human being that is running at full speed and see if you can get up for a play and run 20 yards downfield within 30 seconds.
All right,
I bet
Sam,
you'll be down.
You go
the
to the end of the hall. I'm going to go to the other end of the hall, and we're going to run at each other at full speed and see who survives.
I bet you'll be down for a while.
Me?
Anyone.
Yeah, I played football, and I know high school football is not like the pros, and I still got hit a few times in high school where I was like,
you don't get up for a minute.
My bell was rung.
Yes.
I definitely had a concussion. I also played in the days where they punished us by not letting us drink water.
Toughness is not the issue.
All right, I went way over. No daily gripe. I'm going to have to come up with another one. I forgot to bring on Sam. He's sitting here judging me with his judgy eyes. He's on next. Inside San Diego Baseball with Sam Levitt. Frank Marchese will be here too. Scott Miller's on Sam's show. And we're going to have a great old time here. Tomorrow, Chris, hopefully back for... He's getting into the Christmas mood, everybody.
I think
Chris,
he's trying to get you tomorrow. Out, is what the problem.
I wait until 15. So 3, 2, 1. Good night, everybody.